Hi, welcome back. I'm Simi Lerner, and this is the podcast where we work through the ideas of Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch. This week is a little bit different. It's a bit of an important caveat because it's a bit of a divergence from his regular interpretation. The reason why I'm giving this introduction is because it struck me as a little bit different, but at the same time really relevant and impactful. We're going to be discussing cutting our hair, specifically for the men in the audience, payas, and not shaving your beard with a razor, two commandments that come up that we are quite well aware of. But the way Rav Hirsch interprets it is a mixture of, I would say, the more classic symbolic interpretation mixed in with something that's perhaps a bit more modern. We talk about the different hemispheres of the brain, the different parts of the mouth and the jaw, higher parts of the human character, and the lower parts that need to be put under the mandate of the higher parts. It's a great symbolic journey, which I invite you to join me on. I have to apologize for the lack of consistency over the past couple of weeks, hopefully getting back to it now. But when the projects pile up, you sort of, the ability to sit down and collect your thoughts and record a podcast sometimes gets put to the side, especially considering it takes time to put these ideas together, but I kind of ruminate over them because I want to give over the idea correctly, but at the same time, relevant and loyal to Rav Hirsch's thoughts. And that's what we're doing. We're going through the commandments in the Torah. The specific category we are really fixed into is chukim, not irrational commandments, God forbid. The commandments that their reason and their premises are perhaps beyond our keen to appreciate or understand, but with an appreciation of the general view or direction of Judaism, Rav Hirsch offers us a perspective, a tam, a reason, a spirit to infuse the perhaps dried bones of the commandment that we've been doing by rote, and by infusing them with a spirit that's loyal to the perspective of Judaism. So what are we dealing with this week? We are going to deal with cutting your hair. Things are definitely slightly more relaxed from the past 2 weeks where we dealt with suicide and self-harm. So cutting your hair is a bit of a tamer commandment. But the beauty about this commandment is, especially for the male side of the gender divide, it's something that we engage with and on a daily basis. We don't remove the peyot in the beard, in the hair, and the shaving of the beard we don't do with a razor. Now, obviously we don't do this every day, but if we are aware of it, we can appreciate the spirit, the symbolism, when we view other people, as well as when we present ourselves to the world. Why do we have a beard? Why don't we cut our payas? What is the idea behind it? And yes, obviously people do cut those areas of their beard and their hair, but they don't do it with a razor to destroy it. So what is being given over? What two fundamental messages is Judaism articulating to us? It's often tricky to be able to give a overview of a background to a commandment to appreciate the nuances or the framing for this commandment. We did it last week, and in very brief, I will do it again. But just to really give us the direction that the Torah is going in, that Rav Hirsch's explanation is based off. Because often when you ask a question about the meaning or the relevance to a commandment, context really matters. Last week we developed this in the reference to eating blood. And you would say, what's eating blood got to do with cutting yourself? Well, quite a bit. I won't develop it to the same extent, but just in terms of a brief overview, the Torah tells us not to eat blood and not to rely on omens and astrology. And Rav Hirsch's general thesis here is that when you eat blood, and he relates it all the way down to the Talmud and shows how it builds itself up into a symbolic narrative, but if you eat blood, if you eat the blood of the animal, you're engaging in the most base, the most natural activity, that which is eating, and if you do it with the blood of the animal, you are getting far too close to the animal itself. The eating of the blood, and we spoke about how it parallels in the Talmud in different areas where the animal side of us risks taking over, and in that context, we should not be engaging in eating. Eating is a very base, necessary, beautiful, tasty, but it's very base. And that distinction needs to be held at the forefront, that we are engaging in something that's base, but it requires a reminder that we have that higher human ideal, that higher human spirit. So in any time in the Torah where you're engaging in something that's at risk of the lines being blurred, a distinction needs to be made. And astrology and omens, this truly is beautiful. Rav Hirsch tells us that when we engage in animalistic and mix the lines between the animal and the human, which is done when a person eats with blood. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean if you eat in blood with blood, it becomes you. You become an animal. You lose your higher dignity. Of course not. But you run the risk. And Rav Hirsch tells us that the Torah is giving us a downward spiral. He who looks at himself as but another part of the animal kingdom, it is not long till they turn to omens, until they blur the distinction between causation and correlation, where they start looking for other means to control the chaotic mess of the universe. You disconnect yourself from the sun, you disconnect yourself and you go up, you go down, you go left, you go right, when you don't have an orientating factor, which Rav Hirsch sees happening, where you look at yourself as being merely part of the natural world, without that higher human ideal, which is represented by eating the blood of an animal. You descend, the descent of man to being merely a part of the animal world, the natural world. We turn to omens and we turn to astrology. We turn to that which is irrational and that which is gives us any promise of control. So that's the blood and the omens. And we spoke about how this very principle on the fatality of man and the man's need to control as a rejection of God's providence and God's control over history, but also Hashem's individual hashkacha on our lives and the lives of humanity, the negation of those two is expressed by the eating of blood and the falling to omens. Eating of blood, you are just an animal. The falling to omens that the world is a mess, that you have to, black cat walking in front of you, touching wood, having a horseshoe above your door, your desire to control it. And it's really fascinating how this, unfortunately, we see it playing out in our own lives, where people disconnect themselves from any sort of monotheistic structure, and it's not long till they turn to other, darker, primitive, less developed religions. But that's for another time. And we spoke about how that those two principles are given expression on the body through the prohibition of cutting yourself and tattooing. But this week, we are going to discuss the other expression of symbolism upon your body by being told you must not cut your beard and you must not cut your hair in two specific places within the beard and on the hair. You must not destroy this hair. So what's the framework that Rav Hirsch gives of why we have payas and why we don't shave with a razor? Now, obviously it's not phrased like that. That's the way we interact with it today. We don't shave with a razor our beard and we don't cut off our payas completely with a razor. Excellent, but let's delve into it a little bit deeper.
Rav Hirsch sees two aspects to the human personality, the higher and the lower.
And both within the beard and the hair, you see expressions of this higher and this lower form of man. It's interesting. Rav Hirsch uses this as an opportunity to address the female audiences, because these are two commandments that are very much laid on the laps of the man. And Rav Hirsch explains that, obviously uses this as an opportunity, that the sublime purpose and moral purity and the goal to be achieved by both man and woman are clearly equal. But we both have different roles and different tasks. We both have different bodies and different ways of displaying ourselves. And we both have our weaknesses and we both have our strengths. We both have our temptations and we both have the ways that we shine.
And Rav Hirsch is very much focusing in on, I suppose you could say, a universally accepted position will struggle more with base temptations, specifically ones relating to visual stimuli. And women have their own challenges, which isn't the point of this podcast. But this is clearly an area that men struggle with, in which case, from Rav Hirsch's standpoint, specifically for the man, the importance of recognizing that more base aspect of ourselves is going to be a key goal for the Torah in terms of molding the moral man. So with that in mind, Rav Hirsch makes a suggestion. Now, I think this suggestion can be made in different cultures, in different times in history, but Rav Hirsch's expression of this is really interesting. He says the brain is split into two. This is the cerebellum and the cerebrum, the small brain and the regular brain, the one that's split into two hemispheres that's related to our cognitive and higher functions, and the cerebellum, which is at the base, which is then responsible for motor skill, base, the more foundational movement and balance. And it's worth pointing out, this is very unique for Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch often does not resort to, I suppose, contemporary medicine to explain a symbolic idea within the Torah, even though this distinction between the cerebellum and the cerebrum was, people are aware of it for, I suppose, at that point, 2,000 years. But I think we have writings from Galen that discuss it. But it's a little bit unique, because Rav Hirsch's general trend, this symbolic expressions and reasons from the Torah that would be as relevant today as they would be, 3,500 years ago. This is a bit unique, but I still also find it quite cool that he's trying to really ground a commandment in our experience. So what is the actual commandment? A visible distinction needs to be made between these two brains. A visible distinction shall not be removed. A visible distinction of hair, and in the Hasidic world they have that emphasized with big peyot, but that distinction shall never be taken away. We must know that there are two sides of us. Now, we call this the Yetzirah and the Yetzirah, but it's that part of us that's within us that calls to our more base side and the higher cognitive functions that rule over it. And that distinction has to be made, and a visible distinction has to be there. And that's what the payas are there for, to remind us of that distinction. So, keeping that in mind about this distinction between the higher and the lower, if we now move the mouth and the jaw, which is the place of the beard, the core you cannot shave, refer to the bottom part of the chin. And Rav Hirsch says that if we reflect on this from the same perspective, we see the same division. The bottom part of the jaw moves, it's active, it's involved in eating, it's involved in those more base aspects of our experience, the tongue, the mouth, the movement of the mouth. All takes place in the lower jaw. The upper jaw and everything of the head above it is there for the more, I suppose, the higher functions of man, from smell to sight to hearing even. But even in the mode of eating, it's passive. It stays still. And Rav Hirsch says that this more, once again, the more base part of us, not that it's bad, but the chin, a male's expression of modesty, is to have a beard. To whatever extent, it's an expression of modesty to have that not completely clean shaven, because that is an opportunity for bashfulness, as he calls it, an opportunity for modesty in the part of the human persona, the part of the human appearance should display the more spiritual sides of him, his face, the upper part of his face. The beard is there to, not to hide, but to cover in an expression of modesty, of humility, of that more base side of us. So to summarize, we've got the beard, or more precisely, we have the male face. The upper part should be emphasized, the part that one takes pride in the sense that it displays the higher states of man, his intellect, his senses. It is passive when involved in more base activities like eating, as opposed to the lower part, which is the jaw, which is active, it has the tongue. It is more active in those base expressions of our experience as human beings. And Rav Hirsch looks at this as an expression of, as the prophets call on us to be modest in how we walk with our God. Now, modesty is often something that's discussed when it comes to the female gender, but this is one of the opportunities Rav Hirsch moves in to say that this is an area where a male can express this character trait of modesty, to display himself as a more spiritual being. Not a denial of the lower parts, but a recognition that the lower part is in service of the higher part. We see this with a beard, and also when it comes to the hair, the higher part of the human being. That relationship, that connection, should always be there. One is the master, and one is the emissary. One is above and one is below. That doesn't make one bad or one good, but it does make one closer connected to a means and one closer connected to the goal. So that is the commandment this week. As always, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful Shavuos, and until next time.